Broadcasting live from the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in the ASTD International Convention and Expo.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, ASTD 2014, hashtag ASTD 2014 if you are following on Twitter. Stone, how you hanging in there?
I'm doing really well. I am supremely impressed that you're remembering all this hashtag stuff. I got to tell you, you are on top of your game, and maybe it's because you are in great anticipation of this conversation. We've known for a while that we're going to get a chance to visit with this gentleman. We have with us the CEO, the founder, the grand poobah of Training Industry Magazine. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, Mr. Doug Harward. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
So Training Industry Magazine, why don't you share a little bit about what you guys are doing out there?
So we are a market intelligence firm for the global marketplace for corporate training. And we
Is there any market intelligence out there?
Nah, not a whole lot. We've got a monopoly on it.
At least we know where to find it.
Yeah, there you go. And we have our magazine named Training Industry Magazine. Provides a lot of information about what's going on. And, of course, our portal is one of the leading portals in the world for information about what we call the business of learning. So
how'd you get into it?
Well, I was a leader of a worldwide leader of a training organization for a large telecommunications company back in the 90s. And one of the things that I saw was that the corporate training marketplace, in our opinion, or my opinion, was quite an inefficient market. You know, there was a lot of problems on both the buy and supply side, and just felt like we could make a difference. And so I launched my first array into providing what we call advisory services in 2003. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of transpired to where we got into the .com business for the global training marketplace back in 2005. And now we have one of the top portals in the world. So we're really proud of
you
the progress.
You make it sound easy to do. Well, I did this, and then I did that. And now we have the leading portal in the world.
I got up out of bed. I looked in the
one
mirror.
One thing led to another?
No, I'll tell you. No, I guess there were a few bumps and bruises on the way. And I did some good things and did some bad things, made some dumb mistakes.
It's learning, right?
Yeah,
it's all about the learning.
There you go. You just learned something along the way. There you go.
So what are some of the new trends that you're seeing discussed about here and that you're seeing out in the marketplace? Because I know you've got your eyes on developing trends. That's a big part of your work.
Yeah, that's exactly right. One of the things we do for the market is we study it, and we report every December on what the top trends are that's impacting the industry. So to address a few of them, there's basically 11 that we published this past year. And the trends are really around technologies, they're around how content's being managed, and they're around the marketplace, how much companies are spending on training, they're around the job market, those kind of things. So to kind of summarize some of the biggest trends in technology is really about how people get access to learning. And that is that the trend is moving much, much more to what we call personalized learning as opposed to group learning. You know, a lot of people like to talk a lot about, you know, collaboration, things like that. The reality is, in today's marketplace, people want to learn the way they want to learn, and this is what we're seeing. And so what they really want is a personalized experience. So when they go online to get access to content, whether it be through a university or some corporate trainer, they want the training that's relevant for them. They don't want to, you know, be grouped into 500 or 1,000 people and say, okay, I've got to conform to how that training's been designed. They want the training to conform to them. So what we're as training professionals are learning how to do, both from a technology standpoint and also from a content standpoint, is so how do we customize training all the way to the individual level? And how do we manage technologies to do that? And those technologies that are coming on market now are called personal learning environments. And we're seeing a lot of innovation around what's called filtering systems and boring kind of stuff like that. That's allowing these kind of things like learning portals and LMSs and LCMSs and things like that kind of transform how individuals get access to content.
So now, are companies really going all in on this, where if you got some people that learn through maybe YouTube videos, other people learn on their mobile phone, some people learn better in person, are they forced to do all different kinds of methodologies in order to serve these people?
I think that's really a good question. I would say no, they're not forced to. I think some choose to. You know, the million-dollar question is really about the $1 million it costs to do it. Right?
Exactly. I mean, you could look around this room. You could spend as much as you want on devices, gadgets, technology. There's all kinds of toys in here.
That's exactly right. And that's part of the problem is how do you make sense out of all this stuff? right? You got so many opportunities to do all kinds of training, get access to it. How do you make sense of all this stuff? So that's really
the challenge.
I
need a magazine that tells me the right things.
And a portal. If I had a magazine and a portal, right?
That's problem solved.
You guys have been sheeped in. That's where I need you to be.
Well, I tell you, though, as consumers, it stretches beyond the training industry. As consumers, I am being treated with this degree of special attention in other environments. So if you're going to garner and keep my attention in the work environment, you're going to have to step up your game, right? So it's not like the training industry can't continue to push the envelope in this regard, right?
Oh, I think that's dead on. You know, here's the thing that we have to remember as a consumer, and that is there's a huge convergence of marketing and training and education.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
The reality is it's very difficult now to tell the difference between is this marketing or is this consumer education or product mm-hmm. education, that kind of thing. Right. So a lot of training organizations are becoming very marketing oriented. Some of them are being driven by marketing. Right. It's because what we have to do is educate our customer to behave a certain way. So if you really think about it, what's the two things that we have most in common between training and marketing professionals? And that is that we're both in the business to transform or influence behavior. We want somebody to act mm-hmm. and behave a
right.
certain way. So marketing happens to focus on influencing behavior by trying to get you to buy their product. Training tries to get you to tries to influence your behavior by getting you to perform a certain way, which is really the same thing. So, that, you know, that is one thing that we see as a trend is that it's really converging. There's a ton of marketing organizations that's actually in the training and education business because they do consumer education, which kind of confuses the market a little bit. So.
You know. Now, how about with in today's economy where so many people are contract labor and the company doesn't have control over their quote-unquote employees as much as they did in the past?
Yeah, they never had it anyways, what I say.
Yeah, that's a good
you
point.
You know, do you attack training differently when the person isn't, is more of a contract part-time? Maybe they work a little bit with you, a little bit with somebody else.
Yeah, you know, so, again, another great question. The interesting thing here is that there's some government, let's just say government changes or political changes that's going to happen in the next few years, and that's really around this law of co-employment. You know, the issue is that the federal government tells us, at least in the United States, that if you provide training to a contract employee, then they can be considered an employee.
Oh, really?
Right. So what do most companies do? Say, hey, you know, I don't want to invest in that.
Yeah, exactly. No
away.
Training.
We haven't trained Michael, just so you know. Michael picked all
right.
this up.
He's your responsibility, so all the costs are doing.
So what's worse, to train him or not train him?
Yeah, no
well,
kidding. Both
you know,
are expensive.
My belief is if my business depends on the performance of a contract laborer, I think it's my responsibility to train them, right? But government wants to put us in the wrong position to do that. And that's kind of the you know, how politicians get in the middle of these things.
They're trying to help us.
Yeah.
They're helping
yeah.
us.
Oh, every day they're helping us by getting in our pockets, right? But that's part of the issues. And so, you know, there's ways to get around that. But the reality is, you know, the job market is changing for training professionals also, not only just for people who contract labor. You know, we're moving into a world where most corporations, especially large corporations, want to employ what we call fixed labor or fixed resource type of jobs, where they want to contract what we call variable resource uh-huh. or variable labor jobs. So why would that be? Because we can kind of manage the flow of dollars. And we're going to continue to see more and more of that. So trainers, for example, happens to be what we call variable resource labor.
Right.
Right, instructors and instructional designers. And so that's moving to a contract world. So, it's the cruel reality, but it is what it is.
So are you walking around interviewing or at least having kind of in-depth conversations with some of these providers? Are you going in and listening in on these sessions or in capturing information for future issues and for things to put in your portal?
Well, we talk to them every day. The all the people that's on the floor here are actually our customers also. So we have, we have 172,000 members in our portal,
wow.
trainingindustry.com, all over the world. About 60% of our audience comes from outside of North America, so India and Asia and Europe and
is training
and
done differently in different countries? Or
oh, no question.
So they have philosophically differently?
Yeah, I'd say philosophically and cultural differences, uh-huh. right? It's not just language, right?
Right, I would say culturally, but I didn't know philosophically or training is training.
Yeah, you know, some countries, I'll say it as countries because, you know, we're speaking in a macro sense, have cultural philosophies about who's responsible for training. And now there's also economic drivers where if you go to China, for example, I spent a lot of time in China. They still, at the private enterprise level, don't have a lot of available cash for training because training's expensive.
Right. That
represents about 2 to 3% of operational revenue.
And there's a lot of people in China.
Ton of 1.3 billion. The last count I made.
But yet, culturally, they have a great deal of reverence for training. It's not that they really do have a great deal of reference for education and training. They just don't have the resources to.
Yeah, a resource is a big issue. So the way I would word it is, they have a great attitude about learning.
They want to learn. Said. Right.
Right, but the difference is training becomes an activity that costs money.
Somebody got to write a check for that.
That's exactly right.
That's a whole other conversation.
That's right. So remember when it said, it's not my responsibility, it's your responsibility. So how do you get the information you need kind of thing, right?
It's that accountability is a double-edged sword.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
As long as you don't get any of it on yourself, that accountability is good stuff.
That's right. That's right. And so, you know, it's kind of interesting, too, is that even here in North America that, you know, the way people learn is really, really changing because we have such a huge access of content and information to us. You know, like we said, you know, where do you go to get the most, to get access to the most how-to videos?
YouTube website.
YouTube. Like, I don't know, 8 billion how-to videos on
right.
YouTube.
I mean, that's the thing. Today, you can learn about anything for free on the internet.
How to bake a pie, to how to fix the brakes on your car.
Or to take a course at Stanford, you know, in microbiology.
Right. That's exactly right with these corporate MOOCs and things that's coming out. So, you know, it's really changing the face of the how people get access to information. And it's also changing the face of how we pay for it.
Right.
You know, and so another trend, for example, is there's a huge convergence of universities and educational institutions converging on the corporate marketplace for training. And that's really putting a lot of pressure on a lot of the companies that you see here. Now, if you walk through the floor here today, one of the things you will notice is also a lot of educational institutions.
That's right. And we had some university people in here. And
we had a guy on here earlier today, didn't we?
Right. And the university is partnering with the companies to do the training. That way the companies don't have to retrain them once they get out of college.
Well, that's the general idea. I'm not sure we're there yet, but that's the general idea.
What a concept,
right?
That is, right?
Yeah, duh.
Wow.
But, you know, there's a lot of activities. We spend some time with the federal government and working on strategies, for example, on how do you make sure that at the community college level, which is really about skills training, at the community college level, they're running the right kinds of programs to prepare people for skill-based jobs as opposed to knowledge-based jobs, right?
Right.
And, you know, my opinion is, and no disrespect to anybody, you know, community colleges aren't necessarily getting it right. what they are doing is they're providing programs that sell tuition.
Right.
Well,
right? You can go to any of the Starbucks and see how many college degreed baristas there are there.
That's exactly right. You know, and so, or whatever we want to call those guys, right?
Well, we had somebody in Atlanta that came on that they teach you to code, and it's a 12-week class. It costs $9,000, and it's 100% guaranteed you get a job.
That's strong.
That's very strong.
It's interesting how they can guarantee the job, but that's great.
If you're coding developers, they're desperate for them.
Well, that is a big... A big market driver right now. As a matter of fact, we just met with an organization, I won't name them, about a week and a half ago, which is the leaders in doing this medical coding training and certification. And, you know, all the standards are training because of Obamacare and things like that. And there's huge, huge growth in jobs in that sector. But you know, that's also the case in all of healthcare. There's still a lot of opportunities there, right?
So what's next for you? How much bigger can you make this magazine empire of yours?
Well, I don't know about the empire, but we're excited about a couple of things. I just launched my book about 3 weeks ago on what makes a great training organization. That's based on research we've been doing for about 7 years on what the best practices are of what we call high-performing or great training organizations. And we're launching later this year, a new program called the CPTM, which stands for Certified Professional in Training Management. And that's a certification program to teach people how to run and manage training organizations. All the industry certification have been focused on what we call the practitioner. And we think it's time to teach people how to run the darn thing instead of how to just
man.
Work it.
There's cutting edge stuff over there.
Yeah, isn't that rocket science? Why didn't we figure that out earlier?
All right, let's get some coordinates for our listeners before we go. I want to make sure they know how to get to Training Industry Magazine and Portal, and also want to know how they can get their hands on this book.
Cool. So we're at trainingindustry.com. And if you can go to trainingindustry.com, and you'll see on our banner on the main page, you'll find a cover of the book, and you can register directly or order the book directly from there, or you can go to Amazon and any of the main portals and get that stuff.
All right. Well, Doug Harwer with Training Industry, thank you so much, man. This has been a blast.
Oh, I've had a big time. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You are more than welcome. All right. We will be back in a few from the show floor of ASTD ICE 2014.
This has been a special Business Radio X production brought to you by Training Pros, your source for local learning and development experts. Learn more at training-pros.com.